Morning. It's good to be with everybody. Did everybody get that weird phone call from Pastor Jack with the South Carolina phone number? And you're like, I ain't answering that because I don't know that number. And then you like, the message comes through and you listen to it and you're like, I thought he was at the beach. So that was crazy. The directory, you can sign up online, get your spot, so you get the photos. Brian mentioned it, we all have medieval things laying around our houses for VBS, so they need some stuff. So whatever you have laying around, a mace, you know, double axe, whatever's going on, just bring it on in. The kids love playing with that stuff. So, Marge and Barb Veit went out to see and smoke this past week, and she said that she was so blessed by that visit. So I know we've been praying for Ann for a while. Marge is going to go out again. She's going to make a habit of it. So if you're interested in attending that, feel free. I spoke with Dave Lash this week. He's a little overwhelmed with some work he's doing at the farm. It's his dad's farm. Dave is in his 60s. And his sisters have been helping him on the farm. They're in their 60s, too. So if there's any young, strapping young men that would like to help Dave out, let me know, and we can do that. Then the last thing I wanted to talk about real quick was Scott. All he does is make these kids work. They were at the Cannonsburg Library last Wednesday pulling weeds like they always do. And there was a very nice message on Facebook. Apparently the kids had an interaction with somebody, and they felt the need to post that. So our kids are making an impact, and when they go out, they're representing Water Dam in a very good way. So that was a blessing. So continue, yes, amen. So continue to pray for them. So let's go to the, and Edna, thank you so much. That was beautiful, thank you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, this morning we come to you, we bow our heads, we lift our hearts to you. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here in the church and worshiping together as one big family, Father. And we thank you for the love that you have for us and the gifts and the just every blessing that you give us. We thank you for the laughter that we get to have, for the conversations that we get to have, for the ability to ask for prayer and ask for help, and it's all in your name, Lord. We're your vessels, we're your family, Father. So we lift up this morning to you. We ask you to clear our hearts and clear our minds, Father. We lift up the Wilson family to you as they're just relaxing and they're shutting it down for a little bit because they need that, Father. So we just ask you to be with them. We ask you to be with our sister Mary Ann as she's home and nursing herself, getting oxygen. And we ask you just to get her back up on her feet so she can do what she loves to do, and that's serve you. We lift up Chaz to you. We lift up Butch to you. Father, we lift up Frank, Lisa Lane's relative, to you, Father. We lift up VBS and the planning and everything, Father. We thank you for all the hands that you've provided, and what a great week that's going to be, Father. So we ask you for strength, and so the old folks can get through it, and we just thank you for that. Father, we lift up Jack Sell, and we lift up Steve Antoinette. We ask you to heal them. We ask you to get them back in the swing of things. Let them feel healthy, Lord. And Jesus, we thank you for everything that you've done for us. We thank you for being the example. We thank you for being the fulfillment. We thank you for your love for us, for your love for your people, and everything that you've done, giving yourself up. We ask you to be with us this morning, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today, we're going to talk about the will of the Son, And in getting prepared for that, I looked at some things. I use DuckDuckGo. I don't use Google. And I looked at some wills that people have prepared, and some of these were kind of interesting, so I thought I'd share with them with you real quick, just to set the stage. Gene Roddenberry, any Trekkies? I know there's at least one or two, yeah. I don't understand you people, but anyways. In his last wish was to have his ashes scattered where no man has gone before, and they were put into a satellite that was orbiting the Earth in 1997, and they were scattered to where no man has gone before. The poet Henry Reich, he willed his property to his widow on one condition, that she remarry. And that seems like that would be a really nice thing, except she was known to be extremely boring and incredibly vain. And the reason he wanted that is quote, "There will be at least one man who will regret my death." this one's near and dear to me. Napoleon Bonaparte. I think I'm taller than he is. His last wish was that his head be shaved and his hair divided up amongst his friends. Open that letter. There was a guy, his name's T.M. Zink. He left a trust of $50,000 that he thought over 75 years would accumulate to $3 million. And what he wanted to do with that $3 million was establish the Zink Womanless Library. Yes. No women would be admitted. It would be marked on the entrance, no women allowed. No books, no works of art, decorations by women were permitted. And this is his quote, "My intense hatred of women is not of recent origin or development, nor based upon any personal differences I had with them, but as a result of my experiences with women, observing them and studying all literatures and philosophical works of them." His family successfully challenged the will. And then the last one, in light of that one, Jack Benny, okay, comedian, you know, entertainer in the 30s, 40s, 50s. When he died in 1974, and this is how a man is supposed to treat his wife, he paid a florist to send a single long-stem rose every day to his wife. And although their marriage was far from perfect, his wife was lucky enough to get a reminder of his love for the next 9 years. So that's pretty cool. So wills can be, you know, really good or really bad, entertaining. And last week, when we read the early part of chapter 9, we talked about how it compared in contrast. That was then and this is now. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at it, the comparison and contrasting of the remainder of the the chapter. So if you'll go with me to verse 9 in chapter 11, verse 11 in chapter 9, it says, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once and for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of the goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God." So what the writer of Hebrews, and Brian Day and I were talking this morning, it's Paul. It has to be Paul. Like the run-on sentences, no verbs, it's Paul. It's got to be. There's no doubt, right? It's crazy. So the compare and contrast, it's always compare and contrast. And when we look at this, and when we look at it back then, the sacrifice was of an animal. It was of, and blood had to be shed. But there's a completely different type of sacrifice that happened back through the Mosaic law and then from what our Lord and Savior did. So when we look at this, now I borrowed this. A lot of this I borrowed from Barclay. Okay, I'm telling you that right now. Not all of it, but some of it. Now Barclay, the stuff that I borrowed from him, he borrowed from Westcott. Okay, so this is like on and on and on. Okay, so the difference between the two is you had animal sacrifice, and then you had the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. The animal was led or was taken to the sacrifice. He was just walked right in, and the sacrifice was done. Jesus' sacrifice was 100% a voluntary sacrifice. He volunteered the whole way. Nobody led him to that. He totally gave himself up. In John chapter 10, verses 14 through 18, it speaks of how Jesus gave himself up. And in verse 18, he says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father." So he totally gave himself up. Much different than an animal being led to slaughter. He gave himself up voluntarily to sacrifice. That is love. That is a completely different type of sacrifice. The animal sacrifice was product of the law. Remember last week we were talking about ritual. Things had to be done in a certain way. If you do this, then this particular sacrifice had to happen. There was stipulation to it. Jesus' sacrifice was a product of love. And in sticking with John, our brother John, in John 15, in verses 9 through 13, he talks about love. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I loved you." And that was what we sang about this morning. "Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Totally different. One of the commentators that I was reading referred to the animal as a dumb animal. I get why he would say that. I don't agree with it because I think about my dog, and dogs, although they don't have a soul, they definitely express emotion. And my dog is a scary pit bull. She is afraid of everything. And she looks up to me with these eyes, these puppy dog eyes, and it's out of love. I can see the love in her eyes. And I think about the love that a parent has for their child, and how you'll go all mama bear because you want to protect the kid. The kid, a parent will sacrifice their own life for their child. However, it's a little different with what Jesus did, because Jesus' sacrifice wasn't for one, and it was for many, whereas Mama Bear protects her young, and typically hers only. We had a Rottweiler at one time that could turn it on and off like there was no tomorrow. Like, that dog was the sweetest dog until the dog sensed that it didn't need to be sweet anymore. But that dog was only like that with me and Jen. That dog wasn't like that with anybody else. Jesus was the complete opposite. Like, that love, that sacrifice that he gave wasn't for one person. It was for many. It was for all who call on him, all who have faith in him. Totally different than the animal. The animal was unknowing. It was an unknowing sacrifice. Again, go back to that dumb animal analogy. So that animal was brought in. The bull was walked up a flight of steps to be sacrificed on an altar. And that bull had no idea what was going on. Unknowingly, just walked right up, and then the act happened. Jesus knew from the beginning the sacrifice that he was going to make for us. He totally knew it. My favorite verse is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I love that verse because it's all about Jesus. It's Jesus through and through. And it states it's the truth. In the beginning, Jesus was with God in the beginning because Jesus is God. He was there in the beginning. I had a class where the teacher of the class explained to us like this, and I thought this was neat. I don't know how sound it is, and you'll see what I'm getting at, but it helped me process everything. And he entitled this Conversation of the Trinity is the way he entitled this. And he said, picture this. There's a time and space where God is having a conversation with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all together. And they start with the plan. So think Genesis up until now. And none of it's random. He knows exactly what's going to happen. And when they decided to go forth with what they did, the Father looks to the Son and says, you know what you're going to have to do, because these people are going to be sinful. They're going to need a Savior, and you're going to have to do that. And Jesus said, yes. And then they looked at the Holy Spirit, and we talk about how the Holy Spirit is like the forgotten member of the Trinity. And they were like, and you're going to have to live in them. The sinful people, you will live inside them. And again, I don't know if that's, none of us know if that's what happened, but I can imagine that at some point, way before any of this was let there be light, way before that, that Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do, how it was going to happen. There was no surprise. Sovereign God, there was no surprise to him of what was going to happen. The animal sacrifice was mechanical. It was ritual. It was the same thing. It was like a revolving door. I made the analogy last week. I talked about how when I went to penance, I felt like I needed to get right back in line again, you know. Or if I was back in the Mosaic time, I would walk up there with whatever animal I had. I would drop it off, and then I would get right back in line again because of I'm sinful. And then it would have become mechanical. It would have been just ritualistic. But with Jesus, it was a complete end to the ritual because he was being obedient to the Father the whole way, 100% obedient to the Father. And in Romans 5, 17 through 21, It says, "For if, because one man's trespass, death reigned through the one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation of all men, so one act of righteousness leads to the justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace might reign through the righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So he put an end to that. It was a completely different type of sacrifice, totally different type of sacrifice. And he goes from comparing the sacrifice of animals to the sacrifice of Christ to comparing covenants to wills. In Webster's dictionary, defines a covenant as this: a formal, solemn, and binding agreement, a written agreement or promise, usually under seal between two or more parties, especially for the performance of some action. So it's that if you do this, I'll do that. It's almost like software. There's for every action's a reaction. Okay, so that's a covenant. A will is a legal declaration of a person's wishes regarding the disposal of his or her property or estate after death. So a will is one-sided, okay? And there's something that needs to happen in order for a will to be executed. And back in Hebrews, in chapter 9, verse 16, we see that, where is it? There. "For where a will is involved, the death of one who made it must be established." So the will is responsible for one person. It's one person. Where a covenant, there's two parties involved, okay? I always thought, not always, for a while, I thought everything that God did was good, okay? Hear me out. And then when I started reading about the new covenant, I kept thinking, but how could the new covenant be better? Everything that God does is good, right? God, he's God. Everything that he does is good. And I'm like, how is this covenant not good? And I don't know, it's that moment when I finally was like, it's not about me. It's always about God. It's about Christ. The reason that that covenant wasn't good had nothing to do with God. It was all about man, because we couldn't live up to that covenant. So that covenant was always a good covenant. It was always because it was God's covenant. But man can't live up to it. We're the sinful ones. We'll sin. We will mess it up. And that's why a will is better. That's why if we're left to our own, we just mess it up. Because the will is just one person. It's just Jesus. It's the offer that Jesus makes. However, blood had to be shed, somebody had to die, and the Lord gave up his life. He sacrificed himself for us. So when you look at it as a will, he's establishing something different. He's saying this: I, Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father, royalty, bestow to you all who put their faith in me, all who repent and put their faith in me, eternal life. That way you don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. When a will's read, you're just given the thing that the person wills to you. And the Father's willing to us eternal life for those who repent and put their faith in him. But that will's two-sided. We love the good side, but there's two sides to that will. Revelation 5. Revelation 5 is about who is worthy. We sang about it last week. We sang about it this morning. Who's worthy? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? And that's what we sang about. And in Revelation 5, it's that picture of they're in heaven and nobody's worthy to open the scroll. And that scroll has been referred to many different things. And one of the things that it was referred to is a will. And when the seals are opened, that's when judgments start happening. And if you're familiar with the book of Revelation, the people who are experiencing these judgments, these catastrophes, are people who are not believers. So the will, we look at it, we receive eternal life. But those who don't follow after Christ, it's not the same. It's wailing and gnashing of teeth. But here's some good news. And that's verses 25 through 27. He says, nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood, not of his own. For when he would have to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world, but as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That is the most beautiful thing for somebody who says that their sins could never be covered by God. I've done things that Jesus could never forgive me for. Those verses are talking about how Jesus' sacrifice was for all time. All time. So when somebody says to you, God would never forgive me, refer that to them, because that is amazing, for all time. So when he gave up his soul, when he gave up his spirit, he said, it is done. A shockwave happened. An absolute shockwave happened. And I showed you this. Whoops. Okay, I showed you this last week. So when the shockwave happened, he gave up his spirit, and that veil was torn. We have direct access to the Father. There's no need for another sacrifice. There's no need for anything. Everything in that room, Jesus fulfilled. He fulfilled it all. And there's not a sin that our friends that we have ever done that he can't take on. He took it on. He took it on, and he voluntarily, lovingly, a product of love. He totally took it on because he loves us. So chapter 9 is a chapter of compare and contrast. It's about him fulfilling everything for the Jewish people so the Jewish people could see it. But when we look at it on our own today, it's all about his mercy. It's all about his love, and it's all about what he did for us. It's the sacrifice that he did for us, because we could never do it on our own, ever. And his love was amazing, and his love continues to be amazing. And Edna, thank you so much for those words that you said, because I echo it. If you don't have Christ in your heart, I beg you, because we don't know. We have no idea. This roof could fall on us today. We have no idea. I beg you to repent and just follow after him with everything you have. Let's pray. Father God, your plan is amazing. Your love is amazing. And it's beyond anything that we can comprehend. It's a holy love. It's a holy sacrifice. It's beyond anything that we can understand, hope for. And you did that because you loved us. You knew from the beginning of time where we would be, how we would end up, where would we, left to our own, we would break that covenant time and time and time again. But you provided a way. You provided love beyond anything. And we thank you for that. We ask you to put people in our lives that we can share this with. We ask you to you give us the words to say. We know that you will. Your word tells us that you will, because you provide. You provide everything. Everything that we have comes from you, Father. We lift you up. We thank you. We praise you. Jesus, you are amazing. You are awesome. You are our Lord and our Savior. And we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Rise and sing. Amen. Amen. So today we have VBS training, right, Nika? Right? Right at 12:15? 12:15 downstairs. They're itching to get in. So let's hear the words of the benediction. This is taken from our brother Paul, Romans 16:25-27. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless. What's up?